This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Japan unleashes another round of economic stimulus to boost pandemic recovery efforts. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. As governments around the world are scaling back economic support measures, Japan's prime minister today announced nearly $500 billion to provide further pandemic recovery efforts for the world's third biggest economy. The BBC's Nick Marsh has more on that story.
The sheer scale and scope of Fumio Kishida's stimulus package has surprised many, especially at a time when most developed countries are withdrawing COVID-related spending. Japan's economy has made a lethargic recovery from the pandemic, and the government hopes that these measures, which range from $800 per child handouts to investment in local semiconductor manufacturing, will help breathe some life into the country's finances. It's not the first time Japan has tried to spend its way out of economic trouble, but critics have pointed to the country's ballooning debt and called the package wasteful.
That's the BBC's Nick Marsh reporting there. Well, as I said, for months, the focus has been on COVID-19 recovery efforts around the world. But after scaling back social restrictions this summer, Europe is taking a step backward. The World Health Organization now says the region is the epicenter of the pandemic once again. Today, Germany's health minister wouldn't rule out the possibility of another lockdown there, while at the same time, Austria's chancellor said a full national lockdown will come into force on Monday. The BBC's Bethany Bell has more on that from Vienna as we take you around the continent in 90 seconds.
Austria's Chancellor Alexander Schallenberg said the government had hoped to reach a high vaccination rate without making COVID shots compulsory. But now he said it was time to face reality. The vaccination, he said, was the only way out of the pandemic. He also announced a general lockdown to last a maximum of 20 days to begin on Monday. People will only be allowed to leave their homes for essential reasons such as work, shopping for food, or exercise. The measure will be reassessed after 10 days.
I'm Jessica Parker in Brussels. With rising case rates, the Belgian government has announced new measures that are going to kick in on Saturday. They include making it compulsory to work from home 4 days a week. That is unless you really can't work from home. And then the plan is to loosen that a little bit in mid-December. The idea partly behind this is to cut the number of contacts on public transport. They're also going to extend the rules around the wearing of face masks. It'll now be compulsory for children of 10 years old and above to wear face masks in many settings. Previously, the lower age limit was 12.
I'm Nick Thorpe in Budapest. Here in Hungary, the coronavirus infection and death rates are going up fast, despite the country boasting the highest vaccination rates in Eastern Europe. Over 60% of the population are double vaccinated. 1.6 million have had the third jab.
That's the BBC's Nick Thorpe ending that report for us in Budapest. Well, those fresh lockdown measures have forced European markets to give up early gains today. Benchmarks are now down in the 0.2% to 0.3% range. Oil prices are also falling on fears of waning demand with more social restrictions implemented across Europe. The Brent and West Texas benchmarks are down nearly 2% to below $80 a barrel. To India now, where for more than a year, hundreds of thousands of farmers have been protesting against a series of new farming regulations. The government has long stood by the rules which were intended to open up the agriculture industry there. But today, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has done a U-turn.
Aaj main aapko, pure desh ko,
In a speech to the nation, he said not only has he decided to repeal those reforms, but he acknowledged he's been unable to explain their benefits. Some farmers, like this one, are pleased.
From my all farmers, I'll see the happiness on their faces. It's a really good day. Around about 1 year, we are protesting for our rights. We are just got a hope that our demands has been going to be fulfilled.
The BBC's Nilesh Dotre then says the decision came as a complete surprise to protesters in Delhi, the capital, who say the rules would have put their livelihoods in jeopardy.
Definitely, people are surprised because nobody expecting Modi government would do this. They are also very confused. They were not knowing what should be done, but also quite happy moment.
And so you're at the Singhu border now, and you might think that it would sort of be a cheery atmosphere there today, but there's some skepticism among the farmers who are protesting there.
Yeah, basically, farmers are really happy, but also they're skeptical. They want to see the final output. They're not going to stop their agitation till the winter session of Parliament, Indian Parliament, will pass the resolution, which will repeal the laws.
Now, the farming industry is a huge one in India. Lots of people have jobs in that sector, and there are state elections in some very large agricultural areas next year. Has that played into the government's decision to reverse some of these reforms, do you think?
Definitely. Two big farming states are going to have state election. One is Punjab, where most of the farmers are protesting, and second is UP. So it is very important for Modi government to come up with such kind of announcement, which will definitely help Modi to get back into the power in UP and get some seats in Punjab. But it's very important for Uttar Pradesh, which has 80 seats, which are very important to form a government in Delhi, central government. So it's very, very important for this two farming state.
The BBC's Nilesh Dotre for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you so much.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.